What's up, guys? Happy holidays. Chris Chin here. Welcome into Stacking Dubs. It's been a little while since we talked. I think it's actually been since the Schroeder trade. So I kind of want to unpack a bit of what we've witnessed over the last, I think it's been 7 games since we last chatted. So bear with me, kind of, observations all over the place here, but I'll get into kind of 3 good things that I saw from the Warriors this past 7 games. And trust me, it was hard to find. And then a few, we'll call it 3 bad things, but we might spiral and just make that a whole bunch more bads. But let's just kind of recap and just kind of close out 2024 before tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavs. So first off, yeah, thank you for the birthday shout outs in the comments. I had a birthday. My gift was I got to go to Chase Center for the first time ever. My lovely wife bought me tickets to the Pacers game. We were up in the Bay Area. I live in Los Angeles, so we're up in the Bay Area. My family's from Foster City, so went back there for the holidays, but got to go to Chase Center, got to watch a close, exciting loss to the Pacers, and Steph Curry just kind of put up a stinker, as you all know. I don't want to talk about that one anymore, but we got back down to LA the day after Christmas and said, hey, wait, the Warriors are playing at the Clippers. I know Steph Curry would be out resting for that one, so tickets are a little cheaper. So we also got to check out the Intuit Dome, which I may say was quite a stadium. So was Chase, but man, Intuit. Food aside, which the food was not very good, just the whole tech, the big jumbotron, everything was pretty well done. I was very impressed. So let's just say I got all the holiday presents I wished for, other than some wins from the Dubs. Quick shout out. I got to visit my grandpa, 93 years young, up in the Bay Area over Christmas, and I showed Grandpa Stacking Dubs for the first time. I threw it on his YouTube, which I was surprised he knew how to use. I showed him the clip of me talking about the Schroeder trade, and I just thought he'd be all excited to see his grandson, you know, on his television, you know, just my little microphone and my virtual background here. So I was like, oh, Grandpa, hey, was it cool seeing my face on TV? I didn't even know if he was following it. And he goes, oh, yeah, that Dennis Schroeder, what a trade. It was great to fill some shot creation and just another ball hand there. And I agree with your takes. So let's just say Grandpa's still sharp. Grandpa's a big Warriors fan. So I want to give you a shout out, Mr. Walter Chin, if you happen to be listening to this. And don't forget to subscribe, Grandpa. I forgot to subscribe for you. One more shout out, this one much more reluctantly. I have a friend, Matt Nemerson, who is a good friend. He's a Lakers fan, but listens to every episode of Stacking Dubs. And I lost a wager to him that if the Lakers beat the Warriors on Christmas, he would get a shout out. So happy holidays, Matt. Here's your shout out, you filthy animal. Good job. All right, let's get into it, guys. Warriors, in these 7 games that you have been without me, 2 wins. 5 losses, all of them pretty painful for different reasons. Started off with 2 just horrific blowouts to the Mavs and the Grizzlies, surrendering over 140 points in each of those, and then lost a bunch of close ones, but also eked out a couple close wins, including most recently against the Suns, which leads me into my first good, Jonathan Kuminga. 34 points, both of the last 2 games, career highs. Over his last 4, Kuminga, 27 points per game, 8 rebounds, which I love, 3 assists, which is good, and 55% from the field, which, you know, when he has it going, when he's scoring over 20 points per game, that's a very high efficiency number. And quite frankly, it could be so much higher. You know, he's a lot of just, he makes a lot of difficult shots, but there's so many more just kind of inside 5-6 feet that you would like to see fall a little bit more. And if that's the case, now we're talking about 57, 58% from the field on, you know, 20 field goal attempts a game. That is a productive player on the offensive end. And he gets to the line, right? The one thing the Warriors don't have is someone who can consistently get to the line. I do worry that a lot of the fouls are, you know, on jump shots. You know, he's off balance to begin with. So, you know, he doesn't get all those calls like we've seen in end of game situations, potentially in playoff situations where they let them play. You know, that's where I need to see Kuminga take that next step and to either, you know, finish those or, you know, just not be off balance in the first place and get higher percentage looks. But like Steve Kerr said recently, he thinks Jonathan Kuminga's turning a corner. I hope Kuminga turning a corner. At the very least, he's starting to raise his ceiling, right? Now that he's set career highs in that in those mid-30s, we know he can get there. That floor still needs to rise. I can't, watch him play against the Cavs, who have rim protectors, who have length, and watch him, put up another, 12-point game on poor everything else. The one caveat is that over the last four games, the Warriors haven't really faced an elite shot blocker or really much rim protection in general, which, if that's the case, that's where he needs to have some more counter moves. What he has really been successful for him is that Kerr called him, indirectly, but pretty specifically out just for the bad shot selection, taking mid-rangers with time, mid shot clock with Steph Curry on the floor. And Kuminga seems to have, taken that hard coaching to heart and gotten all the way into the hoop, refuses to settle in between. It's still an okay shot, late shot clock, but you see it. It's just open catch and shoot threes or getting all the way in for either a bucket or getting to the line. That's efficiency, and that's what we need to see out of Kuminga. And then also, the three assists shows that, he's seeing the floor a bit better. He's starting to make the, he's made a lot of good passes. Not all have resulted in assists, but the decision making, the ball movement, it's just getting better little by little. Hopefully it starts to improve and really turn the corner and jump off from here. But Kuminga, the first really good sign that we've seen over the holidays and gives us a little bit of hope turning the calendar. What Kuminga needs to do a little bit better, and this isn't one of my bads, but all the little role player things, just the off ball positioning on defense, just knowing where to be and making the right passes and rebounding, and that's getting better, and that's why Kerr thinks he's turning the corner, right? It's the reboundings, it's the assists, it's getting on the floor for balls. Those are things that Kerr loves, and I use that as a transition because that's why Brandon Podziemski plays as much as he does. He does the little things well, but we all know that Podziemski's struggling mightily as a scorer. But my number two that I've taken away from this holidays is that Podziemski's shooting has finally become, acceptable. In fact, over the 12 December games, he's shooting 43% from three, 17 out of 40, which is a decent sample size. So if he's gonna, shoot somewhere in at least the high 30s, now we're starting to get somewhere with Podziemski. He's still not a great scorer in general, but if you can at least provide, I think it's been 10 straight games before he got hurt, 10 straight games with a three-pointer made, gives you a little bit more spacing if he starts knocking these down. Just, he has to find ways to just knock down his jumpers. And when he does that, mixed with all the little things he does well and why he was such a good plus minus player, now you're talking about a suitable seventh, eighth man role for him. Notice I didn't say starter, I didn't say sixth man. Good seventh, eighth man role. He wasn't shooting. He was, gosh, near a ninth, 10th man, or not even playable. So the fact that he's knocking down shots at least kind of has that mental block out of there. So hopefully that's one just kind of Achilles heel that's a little bit more healed at this point. And then number three, TJD. It's been the biggest change the Warriors. It's very evident since TJD has joined the starting lineup 5 games ago. Before that, before he was, he was not playing well. I don't blame not starting him for a bit. He needed a break. But it got to the point where, we surrendered 143 points to the Mavericks, and then the next game, 144 points to the Grizzlies. There's no rim protection. It's just still is a problem, even with CJD. There's not enough rim protection. There's not enough size. Since returning to the starting lineup, the Warriors have only surrendered over 105 points once in the 5 games. So, yeah, I know they've given up exactly 105 points a couple times, but you can see the defense in general is just better when you have a rim protector behind you. TJD's numbers, this isn't just defense, but all around, he's in these last few games since he started, 14 points averaging, 9 rebounds, which is huge, 2.6 assists, and 1.8 blocks. Really good all around. If he's going to continue playing at this level, even if the scoring drops, closer to like 9-10 points, we'll still take it. Keeps Draymond from having to log as many minutes at center, although that will still happen. But one thing I really liked is that TJD in this last game against the Suns, he was in at the end when we needed a stop. It was, I think we were up two with less than 30 seconds left, and TJD is in for defensive purposes. allows Draymond to basically be a secondary defender and be a point of attack defender, especially against a guy like Kevin Durant, which Draymond knows Durant as well as anybody in the league. So allows Draymond to, sit on that elbow jumper, keep KD from getting to his right, and knows that TJD will kind of deter Durant from trying to get all the way to the hoop. And so, combined, they get the stop on KD. Trace and Schroeder help chase down the rebound, and Schroeder gets to the line. Warriors win. So really like to see it. And for once thought, well, for once out of two games, thought Kerr pulled the right strings at the end of the game. As we transition into the bad, I'll just kind of, let's just go into the bad right here. So those are your three good things, right? JK scoring, Pods is shooting, and then just Trace Jackson Davis really coming around lately in the starting lineup. The bad is that Steve Kerr's kind of just been all over the place. I'll just start right back with the defensive lineup against the Lakers on Christmas in a tie game. Needed to get a stop. Call what, less than 10 seconds left. You don't have any timeouts left, so you're not going to get an offensive possession. So you can just play your best defensive lineup, get a stop, get to overtime. Kerr plays his, we'll call it the closing lineup of, Curry, Wiggins, Schroeder, Dre, and Kuminga, right? Best probably two-way all-around lineup. The problem is you need a stop. Steph Curry doesn't need to be in there in that situation. Kuminga does not need to be in there in that situation. TJD, you need that rim protection. Why would you not have your best rim protector in when you need a defensive play? Why do you even have Kyle Anderson on the roster if you're not going to put him in a defensive situation? Can switch everything, smart. It's what he does. He plays good defense. And then you couple the, TJD, Kyle, and then you have Draymond, Wiggins, and whoever else you want as a point of attack defender. Usually would probably be GP2. But my point is, Kerr, it's always hindsight, but Kerr gets a lot of, well, you're not, let's just finish with a solid closing five. They need to play together, which I agree with. But within that, you need to know when you go to an all defensive lineup and then when you can go to an all offensive lineup. And if you remember what happened, obviously Reeves takes Wiggins' baseline where, Wiggins is playing him to the baseline thinking he had help from Kuminga, who was guarding Rui Hachimura. Problem was that Hachimura somehow gets bumped and out of bounds under the baseline, and instead of just keeping your head on a swivel and providing help defense, Kuminga just turns his back completely, faces Hachimura, and cannot provide any help defense, to which I think Wiggins was expecting. Reeves blows by, left-hand layup, game over. And to that, I put that on Kuminga, but I also put it on Kerr. I just talked about the lineup I like, but yeah, that's all I have to say. I guess Kerr, the time for tinkering, more so just throughout the rest of the game, throughout the rest of the season, it's past now, right? You've had 3 months to figure it out. Even Kerr has said, my rotations have been all over the place. We just haven't been able to build any chemistry, kind of just, basically experience together with certain combinations. So you've played every combination known to man. It's fine. I understand why you have. There's too many one-way players, and you're trying to plug, so many holes at the same time, and it's basically a giant game of whack-a-mole from one issue on defense to one issue on offense and then the next. But you're not, there is no magic combination. It's just players just need to play better, and for players to play better, they need to get comfortable, confident, and have some chemistry with the players around them. So let's find a starting closing five, which I think is kind of what we're starting to do. Kerr had played that closing five we're talking about against the Suns, 9 minutes, 54 seconds in the last game, and they were plus 11 together. So keep on doing that, keep sticking with it. And then if you need to put defense or offense in at the end of the game, like we did, that's how you win games, and like we did. So Kerr, all over the place. It's been bad. I'm usually a Kerr apologist, but it's time to say, hey, you need to just make a decision, stick with it, and then it's just on the players because it's just too much unfamiliarity with each other. All right, number two, and this one's tough, but we gotta be as fair as possible. Steph Curry, the layup package is really struggling this year. Inside 10 feet this whole season, not just the whole season. 48% inside 10 feet for Curry. Last year, that was 58%. And I thought he was not very good finishing last year either. The year before that, 64% inside 10 feet. The year before that, 58%. So you see, that should be in the high 50s, even close to 60. Curry's under 50% inside 10 feet. And then on top of that, just on 2-point shots in general, 50% for Steph this year. Worst since 2012-13 season. The second worst since then was last year, 51%. So you see the last couple of years, it's just been tough for Curry inside that 3-point arc. Figure it out, Steph. You are a three-level scorer. I mean, why is this happening? I think it's obvious that, he's 36 years old, the quickness, the explosiveness, it's going to drop a little bit. I understand it. And when you're 6'1", 6'2", potentially, you're going to have to find ways to be crafty finishing in the lane. And it just hasn't quite been there like we've seen earlier in his career. There's also not enough spacing around him. That's the other big thing, is just everyone keys on Curry, and you got, 6 feet in the lane and eight eyes on him at any time he drives. I understand it. I mean, his assists are up, but this guy, you see so many turnovers every time he's driving. I feel like his just decision making, and more so his confidence, it's just not as elite as we're used to seeing from Steph. So it's something that can be fixed. I know he's trying to not take a beating, not get thrown to the ground. Sure, get to the line, but you see he's obviously trying to pace himself and protect himself, which I understand. It's only, December. But also, it's like you do need to get to the line. He's at getting to the line 3.6 times per game, which it's about, almost a point or a free throw less than his career marks. Over the last 10 years, on average, he was shooting 5 free throws a game. And I know some of that's in the whole foul drawing era of a couple years ago, but even still, he was in the like 6.5 range at that point. So, you're leaving, a couple points at least at the line by not getting to the free throws as much as possible for Steph. All right, number three, and this one is just kind of more of a holistic thing with the Warriors and just the outlook going forward. But what we learned and what I've learned, there's just too many holes and there's just too many problems to fix with one trade, even if it's a big trade outside of, getting Giannis or LeBron or anything like that. There's just not one trade, given the logistics of how it works, that can really fix all this. The Warriors are just a mediocre team, guys. I hate to say it. It's just they're losing to any team with talent and two scorers. They took care of business against some of the bad teams, and they're giving you a chance, but they just can't score enough. There's just not enough offensive firepower on this team, especially to fix with just one trade. The reason being, if you already know, if you're gonna go get an all-star, they're probably going to be making over $30 million a year at the least. And if that's the case, you have to include Wiggins in the deal for salary matching purposes for the most part, unless you're basically depleting four, five guys from your bench, just to make the salaries meet. You're also probably losing Kuminga just to give up enough talent in that trade to make it happen. So, there's who are we going to get outside again of a top 10 player? You're losing Kuminga and Wiggins. No one's going to put you over the top. You're just creating more holes. Wiggins as a defender and as a 40% 3-point shooter. Kuminga, your only true athlete with rim that can put pressure on the rim. And then basically they're your two wings also. So really, I mean, I think I'm kind of at this point, until something else presents itself, the move I'd make as a GM, it's a smaller move, but you got to go get Nikola Vucevic. He's having a career year for the Bulls. He's a stretch five, gives you some size, although I know the defense is not great, but just gives you some size, and it allows you to play Kuminga next to him and Draymond because you have enough spacing now. As it stands, you're just stuck playing Draymond at as many minutes at center as possible so that Kuminga can play his 30 plus minutes, and Dre with his calf issues and just his age, it's just, he's even said he'll do what he has to do, but it's just a lot on him to play center. So the move, Vucevic could be acquired for pretty cheap. I mean, it sounded like at one point they just want a couple second round picks. At this point, maybe it might be a first round pick since we don't have any twos, or it could be a pick swap. You got to aggregate the salaries, but you could package, your GP2 and Looney and maybe Moody, and together that's enough. Bulls don't want too much for him. Got to start there because the most direct path, it remains the same for the Warriors to get back in contention, and that's for Kuminga to break out. And you see it. He's breaking out, and you know, we lost against the Lakers and we won by a bucket against the Suns. Neither team is great, and they were just, you know, Kuminga can have career highs, and we're still barely, if anything, winning games. So his you're not going to get much better in a trade. We already talked about it. So the course remains Kuminga has to break out, and then everyone just needs to play better. That's really the only solution. I hate to tell you, that's the bad news here, is the Warriors just have to all play better. It starts with Kuminga, and he's doing that, and then it's putting him in the best position to succeed. And I know I'm sounding like a broken record. Got to get the stretch five. And then if you see a little bit of potential, you ship Wiggins and either a high pick or another player or two, and you try to find a better two-way wing that gives you more shot creation. In theory, I know he's not available at this point and the salaries probably don't work, but like that could have been Paul George, right? If somehow you're able to trade Wiggins and, you know, a couple ones and filler, get Paul George. Now that team, or and you also go went and got Vucevic. Now we're talking with that team, right? Now you're going, you got Curry, you got Schroeder at the two if you want, or you can play Paul George at the two, Wiggins at the three, Draymond at the four, Vucevic at the five. That team competes. I don't think it can all work, but you get my idea, right? There needs to be some sort of a Paul George type player, for affordable. That's the problem, is the affordability of it. You know, there's like Brandon Ingram, but he wants more money. There's Jimmy Butler, but he's too expensive and he doesn't give you as much shooting spacing as like a Paul George would. So that player just doesn't really exist. I mean, even like LaVine and Vucevic, but again, it's the money and the defense would hurt. But LaVine would actually be a good fit. It just, you know, there's just not a mechanism to get them there. So again, the crap news is that I don't see it being fixed in a trade, and everyone just needs to play better. But there are small moves you can, a few small moves you can make just to shake things up. Schroeder's been bad since he got here, but that was the right move, obviously, and that's the first step to starting to unlock some more lineups. All right, let's leave it there, guys. I gave you my three good, and you know, I somehow kept it to three bad. But we got the Cavs tonight. I'm sure there will be some more bad after tonight. We face the Cavs. I would be shocked if the Warriors score 100 points. So got to dig in on defense. You're gonna have to really battle. Gonna have to get hot from three. The way to beat good teams, you just gotta outshoot them. Steph Curry, unload the clip. Kuminga, I'm watching to see, can you still get to that 20-point mark against a team with great defense like the Cavs? So we'll revisit. Hopefully we can get a win and get some momentum heading into the year. We haven't been able to actually get a win streak and stack any dubs in quite some time. So tonight is the night. Enjoy the game. Have a happy new year if I don't talk to you until then. I'm Chris Chin. Don't forget, like, subscribe. I'm talking to you, Grandpa. Like, subscribe, and keep on sharing this, guys. Thanks, and I'll catch you next year. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.